views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I see a time when all the studios are so desperate that they just start combining each other's IP. Mm-hmm. So it's like not like the MCU where they're all from Marvel, to all these different dimensions that are able to go through Gateway, like in Doctor Strange, where there was like little one-off like references to different things of all these different dimensions that you don't explore. Because like, we don't need a full-on monkey bone dimension conversation.
Okay,
no,
but,
no.
But we might, no. Because if it involves animation and claymation, I'm usually fucking in for better for
That's
worse.
True, except yeah. That claymation was... bad was
yes.
really bad.
That is well, good.
Well, you see that from, I mean, Corpse Bride would be a good
Corpse Bride
like,
better
comparison. Yeah, that's what I mean, like more, a little bit more updated. But for the times and what they were doing, Monkey Bone was pretty good.
I don't Monkey Bone looked like they took like a producer's kids and be like, now make a monkey, now make him look mean.
The claymation was garbage, and what they should have done is they should have taken the Cool World approach.
Yeah,
and gave us some rad Ralph Bakshi fucking animation.
Yeah, let's get some Ralph Bakshi.
I mean, come on, that would have been fucking awesome.
Rotoscoping and all, I will take it. But you know, at that point, we already had Nightmare Before Christmas, and we already knew what Henry Selick could do. So I'm not sure why they ended up selling themselves short. But I guess, you know, we're looking at an era where
I blame
Chris Kattan is still a star.
Wasn't that a weird era?
Mm-hmm.
That Chris Kattan and also what's his fuck the animal and Deuce Bigelow.
Rob Schneider
is somehow famous.
Yeah. Strange times.
Well, he got famous being a side guy in Sandler movies. Let's be real. And a little bit of SNL.
He got famous because he had friends.
Yeah. The side guy in Sandler movies and weirdly a side guy in Stallone movies because he is in both Judge Dredd. And Demolition Man.
Oh,
as
that's
well.
Right. Oh, he was an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He doesn't know how to use the
desk. He was like a desk clerk or something.
Yeah.
Holy fuckballs.
God damn
so
it.
So, as Rob Schneider is in every Stallone and Sandler movie throughout the 90s, the real king of the 90s, though, I mean, it wasn't, unfortunately, in Monkey Bone, was Brendan Fraser.
I mean, yes. Yeah, he was.
I mean, that is where he took it. I mean, you know, all the way back to Encino Man. I mean, that's the first thing I ever saw him in. You know?
Well,
I think that was his first real major role, Encino Man. The early roles that he became known for, you've got Encino Man, followed by School Ties. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be two different movies.
Wow,
You want, what's the opposite of Encino Man? You go School Ties.
Oh, going further than that, we have later on, because we had George in the Jungle and Gods and Monsters come out in the same year.
Yep.
George in the Jungle.
True.
Or no, year back-to-back years, excuse me.
Yeah. Same year you've got With Honors and Airheads.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
So, oh, man.
So it looked like he was really trying to avoid being pigeonholed by doing like a zany comedy and then something with a little bit more dramatic flair to it, which is a great choice. And he was killing it on both regards.
I don't even know if it occurred to him that he could be pigeonholed. I think he was just sort of like, this is fun and I want a challenge. And so he was doing all sorts of stuff that appealed to him and came his way.
Yeah. Definitely has the chops for everything, but also could sit there, read the script and go, oh, this is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing.
Especially the comedies, it seems so much like he wasn't really playing a character so much as he was this like fun-loving guy that just got a role playing a fun-loving guy. Mm-hmm. And you got everything from Encino Man to The Scout. You know, and George of the Jungle, that he's this guy that like gets into trouble, but he's lovable for it. So everybody's like, whatever. He's a little bit chaos incarnate, but in a loving way.
Yeah, true. Very true.
I think that's probably a little bit of Brendan Fraser, too. I think that he's bringing that energy to the characters.
I also wonder if he knows that he's like the king of bisexual panic.
He has to know at this point that The Mummy did some things for people.
Yeah,
and, that movie is known as the bisexual awakening movie.
Because the entire cast is just stunning.
And ambiguous to a degree, like, Brendan Fraser is like a macho guy that has like the guns and everything, but his hair is like blowing in the breeze. And then you got Rachel Weisz, who's like gorgeous and stunning and feminine and demure, but also kicking ass and taking
and
names.
A fucking librarian.
So you've got this nice balance
thank
of like,
you. Thank you.
Of like, femininity or androgyny along with like strength and power with all the characters. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are like, my sexuality just got a little more complicated because of The Mummy.
I don't know what I'm experiencing, but I like it.
It just feels so good.
So that's commonly known as the millennial generation's bisexual awakening movie. But we are talking on this episode about the Renaissance, as it's come to be known in the last year or so. There's been a lot more appreciation for What the world's been missing. You know,
where they been?
Well, and that's what we're going to be discussing on this episode, mm-hmm. is that there has been a long time. Brendan Fraser hasn't been out of work, but right. has definitely been not as in the public eye as he's used to being until around 2010, 2011, like mm-hmm. around that time.
Yeah.
And so we're going to dig into that. We're going to talk about the Renaissance and just really celebrate the man and his films
yes.
on this episode yeah. of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Brendan Fraser. Welcome. Yeah. We have been talking about doing this for about a year because there was a discussion about Brendan Fraser and when there was the GalaxyCon video where there was mm-hmm. the one-on-one conversation with a fan and Brendan Fraser, and they were gushing about how much they adored him and that his fans are behind him and miss him, and he got kind of choked up about it. Yeah. And then it blew yeah. up and became a viral sensation.
It's because and he's a sweet baby angel.
That's absolutely.
Right. That's and right.
So everybody else started like talking about Brendan Fraser and posting stuff about his movies, and really he became again part of the zeitgeist mm-hmm. and part of the conversation. And then the question was, well, why hasn't he been around if everybody loves him so much? And that's where you start hearing these stories about what's been keeping him busy
mm-hmm. yeah,
over
the
recent
the
years.
Dark times, if yeah, you will. Yeah. yeah.
Some dark times.
And, okay. Well, it's about what's been keeping him busy. And in that respect, it's almost like he took a page from Rick Moranis. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, guys, kids, I'm out.
Yeah, to a degree.
Minus the wife dying, obviously.
Right, but, right. Yeah. Just the biggest part of where it just shows how Hollywood shits on the people is part of what yeah. took him out. Like the emotional and physical turmoil he went through
mm-hmm.
with not only these outside factors, but what happened like during The Mummy and certain things that like took that physical toll
mm-hmm. oh,
and add
yeah.
on the emotional issues that happened, which they happen, but the way it's like, no, you got to keep going or else you're gone. Keep going or you're gone.
Well, and I do want to point out when we're going forward is that we're just speaking to the level of our understanding of the situation.
Absolutely.
So I want to make
yeah.
it abundantly clear
yeah, yeah, yeah.
that we may not get everything exact. We're just going by the information that we have available to us. So if there's a year off or there's something a little bit more nuanced in what happened,
sure.
please understand we're just going by the info we have.
Yes. So
right.
I don't want to misspeak with my whole chest, you know?
No, that's yeah. fair. Our intention is to show love and support
exactly.
for an actor
yeah,
that
yeah.
I love.
So.
We weren't there. We don't know exactly, but we support Brendan Fraser either way.
But where we are is in the studio right now, and who is in the studio for this panel? That was a clunky fucking transition.
Just let it roll.
To my left, the Geek Father himself, Scotty P, is here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, bud.
What's happening?
What's happening is some Brendan Fraser love.
Damn, I know, right.
We're all of the age group that we definitely enjoyed plenty of Brendan Fraser.
Absolutely.
What is your go-to Brendan Fraser movie of choice?
Ooh, I mean, a lot of the time it's Airheads.
Airheads is,
It really is. Encino Man, just, the only reason why it's not Encino Man is it can only do Pauly Shore so much sometimes.
Fair, that's fair.
You know, some days the Pauly Shore just doesn't hit you right. But, and really, and like we already mentioned, School Ties is that big pivotal moment of where you're just like, oh, people aren't just racist, they're like anti-Semitic, and you know,
yeah,
it was that learning thing for me, so it always has that special place of like, no, use this as an education tool,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I would say those top two
nice.
For me, yeah.
Now, Murphy, do I even have to ask you what movie? Murphy from Beautiful Disasters is here.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, shit, I am part of one of the
you
podcasts
are part
now.
Of one of the podcasts now, yeah, official showrunner,
yeah,
yeah.
That feels really weird to say, and
yeah.
I'm also like, there's a part of me that's still like. Fan personing, or I'm just like, I don't know how this happened, but I'm so
us.
Excited.
One of
right.
us,
Google
one
Gaba,
of
we accept
you. We accept you, yeah. So, what is your favorite Brendan Fraser movie, and why is it The Mummy?
I left straight into the microphone. So I actually was going to throw you a little bit of a curveball because the thing that I rewatched the most with Brendan Fraser in it is not a film. It's a TV series. And that is Scrubs. His appearance.
Oh, right.
He was
such
a
great character.
And Scrubs both delighted me and wrecked my whole fucking
that story
life.
Arc with him.
Oh my God. I still like I still have those moments where I'm just like, no, 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 Ben, no, 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 no. But yeah.
If I remember correctly, he was Cox's brother, right?
Brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
He was Jordan's brother. That's and right. Brother-in-law. Yeah. And Jordan was like, I never thought it was fair that you got to keep my brother in the divorce.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
They adore each other, clearly. And he gets to Dr. Cox in a way that nobody else can.
Yeah.
Because of his just clear and genuine positivity.
Yeah.
Which if you're to get an actor to have that kind of effect.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Brendan
yeah.
Fraser was a really good choice.
Oh, crap. I know that episode now. Yeah.
There's a series of them. There's a series of them. The first time you see him, it's tenuous. But
I just remember
the second time
he
reappears.
Being heightened compared to normal. And then Brendan Fraser's face.
I still remember them being like, so what brings you here? And he's just like, nail gun accident. And JD starts to faint and he's like, lick the tip of my...
That's right. Oh, shit. The nail gun accident. Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I need to rewatch that fucking series, man.
I told you. See? Don't get me wrong.
No, because that's great. He was great in that. I completely forgot about that.
Yep.
The Mummy Returns, because The Mummy Returns had a Noxuna Moon, and that was definitely where I was like, okay, so definitely into femmes, got it, cool. Got questionable reaction to this whole cast.
But Lowdown, what is, of course, my co-host, as always, on the episodes. Lowdown, what is your Brendan Fraser movie?
It's actually two. I would say I rewatch, I'm kind of with Scotty, I rewatch Airheads. Frequently, I fucking love that movie.
Yes.
I remember when it came out, rented it, fucking loved it, and have loved it since. And I found new appreciations because I found out some of the bands that I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about in the movie. And now I'm like, oh, I know what that is. Like, it's a whole thing. But honestly, I think the movie that spoke the most to me of his, and it didn't just have to do with him. There was a lot of people in that movie that made it what it was. But With Honors, I fucking... That movie fucking makes me cry every time I fucking
Absolutely.
Watch it. Like every to this day, it makes me fucking cry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that is one of the few times you've seen Brendan Fraser be an asshole in a movie.
Yeah.
He is a dick.
True.
But it's like the collegiate, like with his parents, they're paying, you know, he got to get scholarships, but the parents are paying for it. So there's a whole reason of why he's an asshole.
Very single-minded.
But he's never been that person in a movie. And I think that's one of the reasons why I liked seeing the actor so different in that film.
I do love it when there's a lovable actor that usually plays a lovable character.
Exactly.
And you get to see them do the turn, and you're like, oh, wow, you're terrifying.
You're a fucking asshole.
Like David Tennant when he played the Purple Man in Jessica Jones.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
He's a monster.
But it's like, wait, instead of me just like giving you a blanket... Or like a van no one's using. I'm gonna help me with my thesis, and like then I was like, oh come on, dude. Like that's
shitty.
It's fucked up.
To throw a little nod to Joe Pesci on that, because at that point you only knew Joe Pesci as gangster.
He was
too.
A gangster. Yeah. No, that's why I said it's a lot in that movie.
Like
that makes
terrorizer
it what it is.
Of young boys during Christmas.
That's true too.
Still a gangster, just on a slightly lower level.
Joe Pesci right.
We do need to
we need a fucking Joe Pesci episode.
That would be awesome.
I think we need to do like a Scorsese episode followed by a Joe Pesci episode. Ooh, I think. Yeah.
There you go.
Actually, I just want to hear you guys talk about Joe Pesci's shit face. So if you could do like the Scorsese. Easy like regular episode
and then a
Pesci nights.
I feel like you should do a Pesci character for Halloween one year.
Yeah, you know I mean it would have to be With Honors. I think that's the only time he has a beard or anything.
Yeah, no, I mean totally
fair.
The man who's gonna dye it black with some gray in it and be Joe Pesci this year for Halloween, Mike Dobbitt Bigot.
Yeah,
there
sure.
you go.
2022 was like, what's your Halloween costume? Oh, I'm Joe Pesci from With Honors.
Yeah, and look, have everybody.
I do deep cuts, but Jesus,
I don't think that was his beard. I feel like I don't think that was actually his facial.
No, that was spirit gum.
That was totally spirit gum. Like,
the
hair maybe. Because he does have long, slick back hair down to his shoulders at times.
Right.
But the beard, that is not his. I don't think he could grow a fucking beard.
I misheard what you said, and I thought you were talking about him having slicked back hair, and I was like, oh.
I mean, that's possible.
Oh. Wow.
Oh.
But it is. It just,
I mean, he is Italian.
Yeah.
They get hairy.
That is a thing.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Also the
Alan
Sweets.
Is basically
also
werewolf.
The Sweets.
The Sweets, yes.
Mike Dobbitt here. Check out Geeks Under the Influence, all the other shows on the network at GUIpodcast.com. And join the conversation on all our social media stuff. We're around. We're here and happy to answer some questions, deal with all your weird insights.
It's true.
Because we got them too. So join the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, Brendan Fraser. So we have this cavalcade of like fucking bangers. Oh, mine,
I was about
Fraser.
To say, yeah.
Hey, what's your favorite? Yeah.
Airheads was absolutely an informative movie to the point where I was getting into punk rock at the time. It helped me get introduced to Reagan Youth, who were the originators of the song Degenerated. But nice. Not only that, but the band that covers Reagan Youth on the album isn't Brendan Fraser. It's a band called Degeneration.
Yep.
And I love them too. So it was two bands that I got introduced to. Never mind Prong and like all these other bands.
Yeah, the whole soundtrack for that's soundtrack. A fucking banger,
well,
man.
And let's say how much of it was so much glory of a mainstream movie to sit there and just have the phrase Lemmy is God.
No, yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And I mean, you know what's crazy with that is I saw him in that movie. And that's why one of the bands that like actually made me put Motorhead as kind of like a focal point. But I had already seen heard Motorhead from Hellraiser 3 Hellbound, which came out like a year before that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's the guy. Okay. But
that was also the movie that helped me recognize that like metalheads and punks are oftentimes like giant fucking dorks.
Yeah.
That listen to like really fucking cool music. And so there was that scene where everybody's like, I'm Spartacusing. They like, I played D&D too.
Yeah. I was just about to bring that moment up. Also, just reminding me that White Zombie was a separate band and was fucking badass live.
Oh, hell
that
yeah.
scene, I was just like, yeah.
You've got fucking Chris Farley, comedy god, playing a cop that's like rips a dude's nipple ring out during a White Zombie concert. Yep. Mwah, chef's kiss.
Yes.
I'm here for it.
Beautiful.
Also reminded me I shouldn't keep my nipple rings in, so it was an important moment for me.
A lesser known Brendan Fraser movie that I also really enjoyed besides Airheads, which was definitely informative, was Gods and Monsters.
Oh my god, I love Gods and Monsters.
Well, I'm a huge Universal Monsters fan, of course. I think the whole room here is fans of the Universal
but
Monsters.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh my gosh.
About James Whale, who did The Invisible Man and Frankenstein.
Right.
Yeah,
and,
Frankenstein.
He's played by
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen.
Oh my God. It's
and Brendan Fraser is like a yard boy, basically, that ends up becoming like friends with him. But like James Whale was gay in like 1930s
and
Hollywood.
Out queer man.
Out. And people were not out.
We're pre like Burroughs era gay.
Yeah.
Where. No, but I mean, like, we've read, I'm sure we've all read Junkie, and we understand the issue of being gay in, like, America at that time.
Oh, yeah. No, being queer in, like, even in pre-code Hollywood was insane. And, like, Ian McKellen does a stellar job, and Brendan Fraser, this is another role of his where he's playing a semi-asshole character where he has that pushback and some kind of, like, I would say homophobic notions to begin with,
like,
where he's
but nothing out of line from
nothing
their time,
out
though.
Nothing out of line, but you see him grapple with like those feelings as he gets to know James Whale, and you see Ian McKellen grapple with like where he is now in his life as opposed to where he used to be throwing these parties and, you know, living that high life.
He's been basically blacklisted from Hollywood at this point.
Yeah. And it's
was Ian McKellen's
so
character like
he's almost, James Whale.
So James Whale's life was almost like Great Gatsby-ish
this
to a extent.
The end of it, yeah. So he's
yeah.
The
he's end of daydreaming
the, about
mid
the
to late 20s, early 30s, like just let's go kind of thing.
Well, I mean, think about being a well-known moneyed director in the golden age of Hollywood.
Hmm.
The people that didn't have money partied to excess because that's what you did to get noticed. You showed up, you showed out, and you showed off. And especially like with an insular community,
like
the queer community, like those parties became even more insular and wild because this is pre-AIDS epidemic. So there's all of that. But
there'd be parties within parties sometimes, you know.
Going
to the right room at a party, and
but there's this amazing, intense like breakdown scene towards the I watched it in my queer cinema.
So Gods and Monsters.
Foam at the
Gods and Monsters. I could not recommend it higher. It is incredible acting from all involved. It is
stunning.
It's a drama. It's a serious piece. It really shows how trauma can translate into art and how. In the Mark Twain sense of things, like by like, you know, seeing the world or, you know, being exposed to aspects of life that you're not familiar with, it removes ignorance. It removes fear and intolerance. And that's what this movie kind of informs. And so, great. And it's also talking about the guy that did Frankenstein. So, yay.
It also talks a little bit about the toxicity of nostalgia in a way where, like, getting trapped in the past, trapped in that moment and not being able to move on can be so damning.
So, yeah, incredible film. Brendan Fraser has a great arc for his character.
Mm-hmm.
From just like a Joe everybody guy that, you know, has the same kind of beliefs and ideals as his friends do, and seeing the trajectory of that character change as he's exposed, you know, to other ways of living, and he fills in every moment. You don't feel that it's overplayed or underplayed at any point. So
No,
cool,
so, stunning. I'm so glad you
put it on the list. Put it on the list.
I will. Do you know if it's streaming anywhere? I feel like if you're telling people and are listening to this episode where they might
We'll take a look. But the movies that we are mostly familiar with from Brendan Fraser, Airheads for sure. But we're talking like the silly, zany romantic comedies of like the 90s into 2000s, along with the Mummy movies as well. Mm-hmm. That's really where you've got Blast from the Past, you've got Bedazzled, you've got...
Bedazzled is solid. It's a good one.
That's a classic storytelling anyways. Yeah, at that time, it was just updated, worked perfectly.
I hadn't seen George of the Jungle since probably around the time it came out.
Ugh.
Until 3 or 4 months ago, and it was a Saturday ad for free time, and I wanted something that I could just pull my brain out and sit next to me on the couch and watch. And man, that's a fun fucking movie.
Really?
Like George?
I feel like it's just a rehash of Encino Man. The way acted.
But it's like way, way zanier than that. Like they're breaking the fourth wall like crazy with the narrator. Like the narrator is like informing people of where people are in the climax of the movie so that people can be saved and shit. Like it's wacky.
I just meant him and like his acting and character.
A little bit.
Apparently that movie was his first actual box office success. Because the films that came before that didn't do super well. Like, we love them now, but, like, they also are movies that speak to us. And when they came out, you know, they were aimed at a pretty varied audience. So I think George of the Jungle was a great success because it was something that, like, had the zaniness of his previous films that used that, was turned up enough that kids were like, oh, man, this is so wacky, I'm stoked. But had, like, enough of the adult humor that the parents were like, yeah, all right, fine.
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess it's just weird because I remember when Encino Man came out, I wasn't like super young.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it then. I remember I would rent it multiple times from the video store until I bought it.
Well, a couple of those movies are on comparison, or at least I compare them to like Pump Up the Volume.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely not this huge box office hit big mainstream thing.
I watched Pump Up.
But like people our age and certain age groups at the time, man, you were watching the hell out of that whenever possible.
Well, and with Pump Up the Volume, which of course, I mean, that's kind of been one of my biggest inspirations to be a podcaster was Pump Up the Volume.
Right.
These movies, you have to think about the time and place that they're coming out, where this is like the early to mid 90s. The VHS became popular in households around 87 to 88, like somewhere around 86 to 88. So around 90, 91 is when VHS movies in the house are becoming a little more commonplace. So the stuff that maybe didn't make it in the box office, because what 13-year-old kid's going to, or 12-year-old kid's going to get their parent to take them to some, you know, PG-13 movie, like the access isn't there as much as it was at home.
Right.
Yeah.
So having the ability to rent with like Blockbuster videos and that kind of thing, that then all of a sudden you have access to all these different movies that you want to see that your parents definitely don't want to go see with you. Mm. My mom wasn't going to take me to go see fucking Encino Man.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Hell no.
But the VCR becoming more popular and everyone's home, as well as TVs. I mean, fuck, TVs in everyone's home is still a thing.
Even then, at that point, it's not even like hiding it from your parent. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah, you and your friends can watch it. I just don't want to watch it. So that's that suddenly, cool, you can watch it on your own and I don't have to take you to the theater to see it. Great.
Exactly.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah,
a lot cheaper.
I spend $2.50 or $2 versus the fucking ticket and the candy and the popcorn and all that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good point. So I think that's part of why it doesn't do good in the box office, but I think, you know, when you bring in the rental sales and the money
from
that,
that's when you get the super stupid, fun, weird, zany kind of adult, but like for teenagers movies. Like you've got Encino Man, you've got all the Pauly Shore movies, you've got The Mask, you've got Ace Ventura. You
know, Mask did well in the box office, though.
The Mask did well. The Mask was the PG version of what Ace Ventura was doing.
Yeah,
right. Oh, yeah.
Rubber face shit. But yeah, these are the zany fucking weirdo movies that are for kids, but they're kind of adult. And it's probably a lot to do with VHS.
Mm. Right. Well, and that's what really what helped Brendan Fraser, though, was that perfect combination of the way things happened.
It was timing.
Yeah, he
right?
did all those movies, was able to do variable characters, but then you get George of the Jungle, which, like Murph had said, was his big box office hit. Well, okay, so automatically in Hollywood, if you're in a box office hit, you're getting scripts basically thrown to you left and right. That led into The Mummy and everything else that followed for those big hits later on.
Didn't he do a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah, Journey to the Center of the Earth, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that was in 2008. But, sorry. That's what I was going to say for a second. But, you know, we definitely had, like, VHS coming out before that because that was the big thing with, like, how a lot of people found horror movies in the 80s.
True, yeah.
That's what led to, like, the video nasty stuff. Was that, you know, people panicking over the availability of videos
from
home.
The early 90s, it was a lot more affordable than it was.
Yeah. It was, but video stores were still a big hype. But I was going to say that, you know, I think that the way that what we're seeing in, like, the early 90s with him in, like, Encino Man and Son-in-Law and, you know, George of the Jungle and even Blast from the Past and Bedazzled to an extent kind of mirrors what we were looking at with, like, Airplane and some of the Leslie Nielsen films
in the 80s. I could totally see the correlation.
And, especially, like, Leslie Nielsen, I think, is especially, like, a good comparison. Like, he didn't do, like, the spoof movies, but he did, like, a lot of adaptations of things, like George of the Jungle and Dudley Do-Right and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's, and he, like, even in his face, unless he decides to do different with his presentation, Fraser has a face that, if he looks at you and smiles, is a very open, very welcoming face.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely
there's an innocence there,
too.
Right?
Yeah.
There's always an innocence to his
face. An innocent, excited nature. Like, always, like,
Golden
like
Retriever
looks
face.
Now. Yeah.
He's very much Golden Retriever face.
Yeah.
He's like innocent and loyal and,
And just happy. And,
There's a childlike joy for a long time at what he is doing. But
no, totally. Like, yeah.
And so he's this celebrated actor. He then kind of rides the Mummy popularity through 2000 into the early 2000s. And you're still getting hits. He does, like, the Looney Tunes movie. He's doing what else we got? Yeah, the Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Quiet American.
There's still a bunch of stuff that he's doing. Oh, Crash. He was in Crash.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That Looney Tunes movie. True. I'm so stuck at that.
Back in Action.
Yeah, Looney Tunes Back in Action.
That fucking Joe Dante directed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had who was the co-actor on that one? What was her face? She was the main character from Darman Greg, that stupid TV show.
Jenna Elfman?
Maybe.
I think that's who was in Darman. Why do I know that?
I don't know.
You watched Darman Greg.
I'm a big Darman Greg stan.
Maybe because you are one of the co-hosts of a Geek Network podcast, and you tend to know shit like that.
That also as well. No, but okay. I didn't know he was. Ooh, you know what? I'm surprised. I don't know if they ever asked him and he turned it down. Why don't we ever get a Muppets movie with Brendan Fraser? I think he would have been perfect to be that.
He would have
guy,
been.
He would have
right?
been fantastic in a Muppets.
Wouldn't he
movie?
Been the yeah. perfect to be? I mean, Jason Segel did great, but instead of having Ricky Gervais in the sequel, like. Which wasn't good.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Brendan Fraser as that guy in Lovable Muppets. Wouldn't that have been awesome?
That would have been fantastic.
Boom. When you mentioned, I literally, as soon as you mentioned you did a Looney Tunes movie, I was like, oh, that would have been
That's
fucking great if he was a Muppet.
That's what the Mummy sequel should have been. Brendan Fraser and Muppets. Yes.
No, I just think this, we were talking about
the
space
Scorpion King is animal.
Yeah,
I think that's why Jason Segel works so much because he's similar in that natural.
He does have a little bit of that. Yeah,
a little bit of that. So he worked really well with the Muppets in the first reboot they did.
I mean, simple plot, but it works out perfectly. You have Brendan Fraser as a like a small town theater owner that he has like a acting theater that is on the edge of collapse, and he needs like a big. A big, huge thing to like get going. So he wants to do, and then you do like a classic play. Mm-hmm. You do something like Guys and Dolls or Cabaret or something.
Of being earnest.
Sure. Wait. You do something that's like a well-known play, but he gets the Muppets to come in to do the play to bring ticket sales, and so you just have the Muppets doing like Shakespearean shit or some like classic thing in this
hilarious.
Theater that's owned by Brendan Fraser, who's like having trouble about like. selling himself, like, yeah, as you know, like, and that's part of the problem why the theater's going under. And then the Muppets are the ones that tell him, like, you do it for you, you don't do it for other people, and people will, you know, that's follow.
Just spinning gold.
Yeah,
I'm just fucking spinning gold. I'm not saying I'm not in. I'm just saying that, number one, I want Beaker to be one of the leads in the play, and I want people to weep. And number two, if you don't Beaker do a smack my pitch up episode on this, I will hold it against you until the day that I die.
Beaker turns out to be like an incredibly nuanced, like, stage actor, mm-hmm, and he has this effect on people, and that's like his beeline story, is that like he's wowing like early preview just critics of just
meet me. Have you not seen have you guys not seen the videos of him singing Carmen?
No.
The Muppet Bohemian Rhapsody?
No, Bohemian Rhapsody,
They've done that, but there's also, like, Beaker singing Carmen, and it's just, like, him going, like, me, 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 me.
Oh, that's amazing.
Me, me,
yes.
Me, 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 me. Wow. And then at one point, Animal comes through, and he's like, la, da, da, da.
I have seen that.
That's incredible.
That's good. That's good.
So, yeah, we need Brendan Fraser to revitalize the Muppets that are definitely right now in need of a little bit of a boost.
I don't want Brendan to exist Fraser in a time where we're not getting, like, at least in some time span, new Muppet material.
We got the Muppet Haunted Mansion, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was better than a lot of the more recent stuff that's been coming out.
We've already talked at length about the TV series that came back and they did the Office approach and why that failed.
Yeah. They did Muppets Now on Disney Plus. Now it's kind of meh.
Yeah.
But I will say that the Muppets still will fuck me up. I hadn't watched Muppets Take Manhattan in years.
Oh, man.
And Amy hadn't seen it, so we watched it. In the past week, I think we watched it. And I'm, like, losing my mind just, like, chin on fist, just leaning forward.
The fucking rat just taking butter and just skiing across the fucking grill. That is amazing.
But then at the end, like, you don't know if they're actually getting, somebody's getting married. And, like, you don't know if they're actually getting married in the play, or, like, then it turns into, I guess they're actually getting married, like, on stage at this play that they're doing. And you're like, fuck it, whatever. Like, you have no clue whether this is real or not, but you're like, fuck it, who cares? And it's, like, really sweet and everybody's singing, and the fucking Sesame Street characters are there. Like, they brought all them up, including Sesame Street, there for the wedding. And I'm sitting there, and as an adult man, being like, finally, Piggy and Kirby get married. You know, just really just.
Takes Manhattan is actually one of my favorites of the movies. And I just think Brendan Fraser in one, even now, would, I think, just be something to help revitalize that innocence that comes with the Muppets, as well as, like, the.
Yeah.
The risque that comes with it, too. Like,
exactly.
That's why he was perfect to be in Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and he, unfortunately, he even says that was part of, like, that was the door that kind of also opened, because in one of the main interviews that he did a few years ago, when he was really starting to, like, I mean, again, he's been acting all this time, but where he really started opening up about why, you know, he stepped back and did a few things, he was like, that was the ultimate movie, because his character in there was the stunt double for Brendan Fraser.
That's right.
And at the end of that movie, he got to punch himself in the face. And he was like, I kind of needed to do that to, like, eliminate this and, like, bring myself back into my own, like, life. And,
well, it was a great segue to talk about kind of some of the circumstances that had us missing some Brendan Fraser for some years. Part of it was that he had kids, and he wasn't there as present as he wanted to be earlier in their lives. And his oldest had autism, and that requires a lot more time and energy.
Yeah.
And instead of getting other people to do it for him, he wanted to be more present.
No, he was really stoked to be a parent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he did make the choice to step away a little bit, but was still taking roles here and there, but was doing a lot more TV than he had previously, was doing less movies.
A little bit of voiceover stuff.
A lot of voiceover cartoon stuff. Yeah. Or roles that he had a limited appearance in, so he didn't have to be there for weeks. So you can see that on his IMDb, where there's, like, a sudden, like, funneling off of the big leading man parts of movies and, like, smaller pieces or TV series.
We had, like, a not even a big three. There was, like, five things that happened, like, around the same time period, which was just, like, holy shit, I feel for the dude. Because, like, one he was excited about, which was having kids. Which, you know, he was clearly stoked about. But then, like, he started having, like, some severe body issues because, like, he was doing the majority of his own stunt work.
Yeah.
For, you know, The Mummy and all these other films and just going at it. And that's fucking rough. And one of his surgeries failed and they had to redo it. And that was like one of the surgeries on his spine.
Yeah, I was about to say that was like a spinal, like heavy duty surgery that happened. Yeah.
He and his wife ended up getting a divorce. His mom died and then he was assaulted. Yep. And he spoke and he spoke out about it.
And even with the divorce, and I don't remember the specifics, but basically the wife was claiming that he was hiding money from her. And so she got a much bigger alimony than he had money for because he had dropped off of his roles. So he didn't have the money that was supposedly being hidden. And and so like it ended up like basically making
$900,000
him
$900,000 or something.
Yeah. Like, it was so well off. Fucking nuts, man.
Oh,
yeah.
So money can do terrible things to people.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I was just going to say about, you know, him doing his own stunts and what that takes a toll on, especially if you're a larger person. And he has always been, his frame, he's structured. He is a broad shoulder, tall.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the, delicious. Especially, like, maybe not so much now, but I know, especially in the 90s, his like 6'2" stature was not common.
Yeah.
Oh, like, no.
In Hollywood at all. That was not the 90s dude, you know, like, so yeah, I could see if you're doing your own stunts and just that. Being longer, lanky, having more girth, like all that.
They I think wreak havoc. I think the quote that he said was that, like, by the time he was doing all these, he was basically building an exoskeleton of, like, ice packs and stuff for his body whenever he would start working on an action movie. Because that was the only way he could get through it.
I think it was in the video that Murphy sent to the chat that he said he suffered from Great Dane syndrome, where he didn't recognize that he's this big, lanky dude. So he does stuff.
Yeah,
like, he thinks he's a lap dog when he's not. Like, he doesn't recognize that he's like bigger than he doesn't realize he's as big as he is, and ends up like getting hurt because of it. Because he does this like wacky shit and then gets injured.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So. And like, and it's remarkable to see the difference in his interviews from like circa The Mummy to now, where he's talking about like the stuff he ended up going through because of it. But you know, then him being a young man would be him them being like, so how do the stunts work? And he's just like, well, the director says go, and then he tells me to run like hell and look, you know, debonair doing it, and you know, don't fuck it up. And he's just like, I don't know, I do my best.
Yep.
So
it is one of my favorite stories from the, I think it was the first Mummy, is that there was a scene where he came out wearing a gown that Rachel Weisz was supposed to be wearing. No,
that Anaxuna Moon.
Oh, the Anaxuna Moon.
He came out in the pasties and the loincloth and painted gold.
Right.
And Arnold was not prepared.
No. Oh, and supposedly he was not even supposed to be there that day.
Nope.
He wasn't even supposed to be on set.
You can tell just by looking at that dude that he's like the on-set prankster guy, that it's all loving. It's not like Jared Leto creepy pranks. No. It's like
actual. Right.
And we're like, Brandon, you... kind of response. I can't imagine that he's not like beloved on set, and he's probably the kind of guy that knows like the names of all the grips and shit on set too.
Where
he really truly makes everyone feel like, no, you are you are part of this.
It's like we all get to do this together,
kind of. Exactly.
We'll see. In that I want to make sure that it's covered properly as well. Murph already mentioned it as we were talking, where you see where the emotional and mental trauma comes from, his assault that happened to him, because he is such that type of guy that, do I say something? It wasn't like current times where it's more comfortable for a male to say something. But like Terry Crews is a prime example of just, again, because you sit there and go, I've still got to work. I've still got to do this, you know, just, and with Brendan Fraser, stuff got toppled on top
and that, like, he was asked if he was blackballed because he did speak up. And you know, I think it's even harder when you are like a tougher, like when people see you as a tougher person, because then they're like, you always, like, there's that thing in the back of your head like, oh, are they gonna believe me because I, you know, like, why, like, how would I let that guy get away with it? But you're in so much shock, you're just like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from the interviews and stuff he's talked about, that's basically what he says, because it was someone who was high enough in Hollywood that did it to him, of course, denying all sorts of stuff or trying to placate it as something else. But when someone goes, he grabbed my butt cheek and I felt his finger wiggling on my taint.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. You're like, whoa, bro.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Digging the gold, buddy? What's going on here?
Right.
What's going on?
Of course, the person who, and I'll say allegedly just for legal purposes, of course denies it, says that it was a playful, like, pinch or something.
I was about to say, either way.
Caress or what?
Yeah, it shouldn't matter.
Is it a stroll or a saunter? I don't care what you fucking call it. Yeah. If he's like, my hand touched his butt. Okay, was he cool with it? No. Was there consent about it? No. Okay, then it's sexual fucking assault.
Yeah. Right.
This isn't a complicated matter here.
But again, it's Hollywood. And what position he held it? He wasn't even like a director or anything. He was the head of an international film commission, one of the associations or something. Yeah.
But it was something high up in the cinema machine.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and
he's no longer in his role. I don't think it's specifically from Brendan Fraser's incident, but like, I think that's why there's more conversation about it now, because it isn't somebody that's in that position anymore. So it's kind of safe to be like, yeah, that piece of shit, because he's not.
He doesn't hold the stature anymore. Yeah. So, and again, it just, and you think about with that on top of the mental, like, because this all happened right in the midst of his wife leaving him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, trying to be a parent with, and your oldest child is autistic, which again takes the extra steps. Mm-hmm. And dude, no one, I mean, I don't blame anybody for having any type of breakdown with a combination like what happened to him. He dealt with a lot of pressure from all that.
Which, I mean, fair. But that's the thing, is that also, like Murphy was saying, with when you're seen as a strong person, like that, why would you? You know, let that happen kind of attitude towards the sexual assault.
He didn't
assault.
Let it happen.
Well, exactly.
Right.
It just happened.
That's also a challenge.
You don't let that happen.
But that's a thing that, like, you think in your head, where you're just like, fuck, will people believe me? Will people,
I get it, but it's like, there are people that, will say that, too. It's like, how'd you let that happen? Bitch, I didn't let it happen.
Right.
It fucking happened. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I didn't answer a
letting
poll.
It happen. That's like, what the fuck?
Especially with incidents like Brendan Fraser and Terry Crews, they happen in public.
Terry Crews was at a party with Brendan Fraser.
They were at an award ceremony. They were at an award ceremony, I think, of an award.
I think of an award. I remember Terry Crews. He did an interview when he talked about this, and he's like, "Yeah, dude, graze my fucking ding-a-ling." I'm like, "Oh,
no, I mean Brendan Fraser."
Oh, I was talking about Terry Crews.
Well, yeah, both of them. That's why I'm saying they were both at like Hollywood type events. And you're like,
then they get away with it because there's so many people. Like, what are you gonna do? It's like, no,
either what are you gonna do?
How that shit works.
Or the classic, are you sure that's what happened?
Oh,
yeah. I mean, because you know that's what was said to him.
Just like that aspect where, you know, why would you let them get away with it? The male stereotype thing of like men can't be assaulted or sexually assaulted or whatever.
Right.
It's the same thing with like brush it off if you are depressed. Like,
there's
also that old school mentality that's expected from the action hero type
suck
stars,
it up buttercup
suck it up that was also a challenge he had to run into, is that he was depressed, he was dealing with a lot of really like hard shit at the same time and was really fucked up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something people want to hear from action star guy, you know
right.
And it also opens up the conversation about how like that can't happen to men, not like from a bravado standpoint, but like how that can't happen to men, like only women get sexually assaulted. It's like, no, I'm sure throughout history plenty of men have been sexually assaulted, they just didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah,
you know, they and said like, something or and people gave them the same questions.
Exactly. Well, they did say something and got shut the fuck down. Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
So that there's a whole stereotype with that too, and that is one area where I feel like you know, it's not the same thing, but like I feel like a lot of men did. I mean, the percentage that women get shut down for that shit, like, is catastrophic. And I feel like we don't even know the numbers of men, because they probably didn't just say anything, because they're like, I'm a man, I can't let that shit happen to me,
right?
Which is fucking, it's horrible.
Yeah,
it's toxic as shit.
Horrible, you know? and it's also just ridiculous, because there are so many people that have that mindset, and then we'll compare it to, you know, our macho leads and things like that. And I'm just like, half of the macho leads you love have tortured hero backstories that are based off of extreme emotion and bad things happening to
trauma,
them.
Trauma, lots of trauma. Lots of trauma.
PTSD.
Did you actually watch the movie Rambo? Just saying.
Yeah.
PTSD like a motherfucker. Yeah. Like, that's all the movie was about.
I mean, even like Rick O'Connell, like, he carries some of that stuff as he's begrudgingly going back into the desert where he's just like, no, I went looking for this once and all I found was sand and blood. and he is prepared to find the same thing, and he carries that heaviness with him. And I think, like, and I, you know, I kind of wonder, like, if we will end up getting more of, like, the playful Fraser, you know, characters going forward, like, as he's maybe able to, like, recapture, you know, like, the love that he had for doing these things.
I don't know.
Muppet comeback. That's it.
No, I'm not saying that. That's I'm saying that we're getting these amazing roles, like, you know, like, I will go ahead and say, like, I know that the whale is of much content for, like, there's people on both sides of the fence of it being an amazing performance, but also at the same time, it is a person in a fat suit. So it's a hard line when we're discussing those two things. There's a balance to that conversation. You know, we've got him in Doom Patrol. We've got him in so many other things.
Doom Patrol.
That's what I was about to bring up as well. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Please. Mm.
He made his appearance in G.I. Joe. You know, which unfortunately I look
barely.
On, but it's still Brendan Fraser showing up in a major title.
Sure,
yeah,
and it's what sucks is that if you look
extra,
on,
though.
But if like, you see, no, but he IMDb has a name for him, but he's still uncredited in the movie. That's the biggest
because
thing.
Like I don't think if he has a speaking line, it's like a 3-word speaking line. I mean, he's barely in that fucking movie.
It's Brendan fucking Fraser.
Yeah,
he gets credited.
No shit. No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you tell him, Scotty. I will. Hold your hat.
Fucking hell.
Only justification, because I had never fully watched G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra until like about a year ago, maybe.
And you finally did?
It was so bad.
Yeah, it's
so bad. I never said the movie was good.
No, but I mean, don't get me wrong. Even that being said, is that I'm watching this movie being like, this is fucking garbage. Like, man, these poor actors that are part of this thing, like, I'm surprised they have careers after this. And I'm watching it, and there's a scene, it's like an underground fucking Cobra bunker or some shit. I don't remember. I don't care. But, like, there's, like, the Joe forces, and there's, like, three dudes, and one of them is fucking Brendan Fraser. I'm like, whoa! And then, blip, and then he's off the screen. I went, there's no way that's Brendan Fraser, unless, like, he's going to come in and be the hero.
But see, unfortunately,
in the second half.
You can't. Yeah.
And then, you see him again, and you're like, fuck, that is Brendan Fraser. And then he's just not in the movie for the rest of that, and that fucked with me.
Yeah,
because it's like, right? Is he gonna be Cobra? Like, are you gonna see him later and he's the villain? Like,
he's the guy.
It's Brendan Fraser.
They played with my emotion.
In fucking Scream. Like, I'm like, no, he's definitely a bigger character because he's not gonna be Soldier number 3.
He was Sergeant Stone, sir. Read the IMDb.
The rest of the fucking movie. Sergeant Stone.
Damn right.
The rest of the movie, I'm waiting for him to pop up and be like a major part of this movie, and it doesn't happen.
No.
And I was like, is there like a director's cut of this that I need to watch? And like, what the fuck happened?
I wish.
That shit happened.
It's like really fucked with you, didn't it?
It upset me. Like, no, you can't do that.
Groot showed
you can't fucking
right.
do that. You can't have like a well-known actor show up on fucking screen for like two blips in the background. And because we've seen that movie where it's like, he's a janitor, and you're like, yeah, he's a janitor. And it's like Idris Elba. You're like, Idris Elba took the janitor role.
John Carpenter in Scream.
In
Scream.
Wes Craven.
Wes Craven.
Yeah.
No, John Carpenter was the janitor.
No, Wes Craven was.
Wes Craven.
Yeah.
Wes Craven was the janitor in Scream.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, well, I.
But his name was Fred.
That's true.
Right.
No, but that's a director cameo.
Original point before Hobbit had an issue with.
It's fucked up, man. It's fucked. You can't do that.
You can't do that. You may really make because of Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
That's really what it is. Yeah, that shit of a movie.
Yeah.
The movie. Yo, Joe, calm your tits.
Hold on.
Okay.
You thought the first one was bad. We don't
need to go down a G.I. Joe hole on this one.
Shit.
My original point was that unfortunately he did kind of hit this lull, but what really showed what I thought bringing his acting chops back was Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I haven't really watched it, but everyone says he was just really good in it.
Well, but he's also mostly doing voiceover stuff. Like he might be doing some of the like mocap or something. Maybe I don't know, but
no, he's. I think he's actually. In the suit part of the time, but there are scenes in a good chunk where they do show the Robot Man origin, which is Brendan Fraser.
Okay, cool.
They do show him in there. So, okay. But even still, just like what's his face from V for Vendetta, you still got to be able to portray that sure. character properly.
That's a really good. That's yeah. a really good comparison. Yeah, yeah. He. It was him in the suit.
Yeah.
He just.
And that's why I was saying, I'm pretty sure it's Brendan Fraser in the Robot Man yeah. suit, because he does walk around and stuff, and it's his voice. And
yeah.
when he's pissed, he's yelling and screaming, and you hear the change in tone. Yep. And so it's I think he's made a killer comeback from the hard hardship that he's gone yep. through.
Mm.
So.
Hell yeah. Well, we're going to get into a little bit more Brendan Fraser after the break, but we're going to take a break so you can hear about some of the other shows on the network, get back, talk to our sponsors, or drinking, what have you. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there's another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guides at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Atandi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash.
On your left.
And we are
the Geek Fathers.
That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.
We're back to celebrate the Renaissance on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. But before we do so, we have to bow to our corporate masters. The first off, of course, is Amazon.com. We are trying to save up for our own dick-shaped rocket ship. So if you can help us by shopping through the link at GUIpodcast.com, click on the link to shop Amazon, and we will get one step closer to reaching the stratosphere in a penis-shaped rocket.
You could have said penetrating the stratosphere.
Oh, damn it. Take you two. Failed.
No, I was going to say, I mean, unless you specifically just want the shape, rockets are pretty phallic.
I mean, for the most part, but like when you have like ball-shaped gas tanks on the bottom.
Okay. Like, I was going to say, if you strictly...
And you get the mushroom tip on the top there.
If you strictly just want a penis, rockets are pretty just erect.
Yeah, there's a point where it's like, okay, true. Look, yeah, it's already pretty phallic, but you're like, I mean, you're trying now, right?
Okay, look, call me when you get to the vulva or anus space station, and then I'm in.
Boop.
Yeah,
space station would be pretty great. Just like,
and then it's like gets in there and it's like
cheeks that separate. It separates
and then like it swirls open.
But like it's and then like it gets there and it gets stuck and it's like got to pull out and then get spritz and then get put back
so
in.
If you,
I was about to say something like that as well. God damn it!
So the future of space exploration is up to you. It's just by shopping the link at GUIpodcast.com. Click on the Amazon link. We get some of the money for whatever you shop for. It costs the same. We just get some of it instead of Amazon. So pretty easy deal. It's a way to help us out just by doing your normal Amazon shopping.
Mm.
Dick shake rockets and butthole space stations. I'm here for it. Absolutely.
All day long.
A sphincter station, if you
know. Now, we should hopefully, if not the day of this release, the same week of this release, we're going to be releasing all of our Halloween designs, all of our seasonal Halloween designs on the GUI page, including one or two new designs as well for the Halloween season. So make sure to check out TeePublic through a link at GUIpodcast.com/store. And there's like 50 designs available
easily
on our site. Yeah, tons of stuff to choose from. And that is the best way to support us by just picking out designs that you know and love, and getting them on t-shirts and buttons and stickers and coffee mugs and pillows, throw pillows.
Hey, I haven't brought up the pillow in a long time, but if you want to wax pillows, let me tell you.
Wax poetic about pillows?
Dirty pillows.
Yeah, wax pillows.
Let me talk.
So, you're doing a really
GUI podcast.com/store. So, that'll take you to our TeePublic page where you can get all this stuff, including our new and seasonal Halloween designs.
Yes, I'm really stoked for that.
Yay.
Coming back. So it's nice seeing that.
I need to get, it's been since the first one of the first designs we did for Halloween was the Elm Street Ale shirt.
MCA shirt, and then the Michael
Alcohol-Halloween.
And both of those are like, I mean, they're years old at this point. I need to get I need to re-up those designs, I think, for this season. So
I'll
check it out at GUIPodcast.com/store. So that's our sponsors. The next thing is really what fuels this show, and that is what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Woo!
Yay!
So for this one, I decided that I was going to make a cocktail for the Brendan Fraser one, and this is a cocktail by the name of The Mummy.
Yay!
This is a nice.
You're all on the nose there, ain't you, buddy boy?
I know, right? It makes you bisexual when you drink it. Actually,
what happens to me?
You just get more bisexual.
Does it taste better than the movie?
It does not taste like dust and rotting corpses.
Cool.
It is basically vodka, triple sec, and lemon juice with some club soda. It's very simple.
It's not sweet.
It's a nice, just very easy cocktail to take down.
I've got to be honest. I'm not really a fan of any of those movies.
They're fun.
CGI is fucking atrocious.
Oh yeah,
but
for sure.
That time,
still atrocious. I don't rewatch certain movies because of that.
Do you
regardless
give the Lawnmower Man a hard time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who you're talking to right now?
I just needed to
I had to rewatch that for our King episode last year, and it has, like, and I watched the director's cut, where it's, like, an extra, like, 40 minutes. So there's a lot more story, less more shitty CGI. I like that version a lot better, but when on the episode, I definitely like the CGI is fucking, like, horrible.
Look, dude, watching the first Mummy, like, for a long time, I definitely thought I was going to die from having having fucking scarabs crawl under my skin. I thought that was how I was going to die. Oh. I've never seen a scarab in my life, and I was still convinced
and then
the
Scorpion King in that was, God,
oh, the Scorpion King.
So bad. Come on. That was...
There's a lot of... decisions made there.
Well, if you didn't like the Mummy graphics, then I don't even want to know what you thought about Virtuosity.
Oh, fuck that.
About as good as Johnny Mnemonic?
No, Johnny Mnemonic, at least the special effects were very minimal in that.
True.
Virtuosity, we're talking about Denzel and Russell Crowe.
Terrible.
Well, I have bad news for you about a later Argento film, The Card Player.
Oh, The Card Player. I've seen The Card Player. I love the card off that's happening on the train tracks at the climax of that movie.
But still, you know, like, it was one of those things that, like, when I watched it, my brain wasn't, like, I obviously knew that it wasn't real. They were doing what they could.
Yeah.
They were trying to get a thing across. There was some stuff that worked. And then there was other things that, especially now as an adult with a more discerning eye and a lust for, you know, practical effects, I have more feelings about. But fuck you, I love The Mummy.
Cool. I don't hate anybody's love for The Mummy.
And I gotta say, there are some Brendan Fraser movies that aren't good necessarily that I still appreciate. Like, as much as it's not nearly as good as the, like, 70s Disney one, Journey to the Center of the Earth with him is fun. And it's the CGI is... not great, but it's definitely better than The Mummy.
We're also looking at, like, you know, 7 years.
Yeah.
Well, you're also talking about a classic story that was its time to cycle through a revival on it, you know, and it did well.
Kind of a sequel to that, where it was Journey 2 is what they called it, and it starred The Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was, that's actually, I think the CGI in that was a little worse.
CGI than that was, well, the budget was definitely lower. Than, lower
yeah, they used all their budget for The Rock, basically.
For probably, yeah.
Yeah.
You are selling this movie, so this is where the money goes. Don't bitch about the final graphics, okay?
Right.
Buddy boy. Just your peck pop of love alone cost us $25,000.
Johnson is a large man. Shh.
I think they even do a thing with his peck pop.
He does in that movie.
In that movie, where he does. He's like throwing berries off of his nipples or something.
What, no, like he's talking to like the boy, and he's like, "See that? Boom, chicks dig that." Like he's like doing the peck pop thing.
What are they? The lacrosse sticks of fucking nipples? What like what is he throwing?
No, his chest is just so.
I think like a berry gets thrown at his chest, and he like pops his pec muscle so it like shoots off of his chest. Yeah, I think that's from that movie.
There is that in that movie somewhere. I thought he was like talking shit to the kid.
Terry Crews does it better, but still.
Yeah. Dude, now I'm just having a fucking Spice
Schwarzenegger
Girls
does it best
flashback.
Though. If you go look at Schwarzenegger back in the '70s,
that's true.
He started that.
Yeah. They might have started it, but the Spice Girls definitely had a moment where they were rehearsing and they had some dude trying to like impress them flexing their pecs, and she's like, "What, you've got ferrets under there?"
No. I will say with that, yes, please, nobody, please do the peck pop of love because that is not going to do anything.
As Murphy attempts.
Aside from just like make people laugh at you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really, it's like, no, that has never been, at least in my opinion, impressive.
Yeah.
Maybe in the '70s when people were staring at Schwarzenegger, they were like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Like, no.
It's way take more
a look at my
tassels.
Picks.
Mm. That was...
It's great.
A Russian Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's why I say Terry Crews stepped it up. Not only
get
doing
to
that.
My pictorials. Oh,
no. Oh God, yeah. He's doing Schwarzenegger.
You sound like fucking the Despicable Me Gru.
You're having a struggle of a Russian orgasm.
Yes.
You sounded like Gru. Get through my pictorials.
In Soviet Russia, orgasm has you.
Jesus Christ.
I quit. I quit.
Anything that's even vaguely European or Eastern European becomes Russian.
It becomes Russian.
And not good Russian. Yeah. Like, it's not a good Russian accent.
Nope.
It's Steve Carell Russian.
Yeah. It's Grushin. Yeah.
It's Grushin.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
So anyway. I did want to talk a little bit about we've got another share to indulge in as well.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the other one, too. We got, like, the pumpkin one.
Yeah. But that's if you guys want it.
I mean, I definitely want to try this.
This one is lower ABV. Yes. It's only like 4.9 or something. Mm. But this is the Heller High Mango, which normally I'm used to their Heller High Watermelon, and I wanted to check this out because I'm
ooh,
a sucker for mango.
That smells
things.
Nice.
And it's, you know, it's nice and drinkable.
It's decent. I will say mango for seltzers are pretty much a no across the board.
Yeah.
Like none of the seltzers have been able to nail mango.
Yeah.
It's a tough fruit apparently to crack, but
yeah,
this one's decent.
Yeah,
this
isn't it's really
this is still a Hefeweizen with mango, so it's like Heller High Watermelon, but mm-hmm. with mango.
Yep.
So
yeah,
not
exactly. So it was a special release of theirs.
This is a 21st Amendment Brewing Company.
Which, we have had Heller High Watermelon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've had a number of their drinks. They have a lot of really good beers there.
Yeah. Fireside Chat, I think we've had a couple times.
Fireside Chat, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other one I brought was the Schlafly Pumpkin Ale because I just got so excited to see pumpkin ale.
Yay.
Yeah, and I'm trying to forcefully bring
that
the cooler weather.
That is stronger this year. That's not normally an 8%.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's normally like Ale Works out of Williamsburg. They usually roll around 7%. Like that's an 8%, and I could taste it, which I don't think it did it any favors, honestly.
No, it's very high on the nutmeg this year too.
Yeah, it's like there's a bitter on the back end that I think attributed to that and to the alcohol. Where, like, it's usually the subtle sweet pumpkin. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's
don't
available know. If y'all want it. But, again, because it's so high ABV, I wasn't going to be like, drink this beverage.
Yeah.
On a, you know, Tuesday night.
But we don't get that high anymore. We're getting old.
Yeah, right?
I mean, we might. Right.
Back in the day when we had all the dick kickers.
No shit.
Oh. Then we had the castrators a couple times.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That was,
one thing I did want to discuss before we get done with this episode is the... Yeah, like not canceled because they finished the film and it's just not being released is Batgirl. Brendan Fraser was going to play the character of Firefly in that movie. And so it's been filmed. There's even screenshots of him or shots of him as Firefly that came out on the internet and it's not releasing.
That's
they're writing it
dumb.
Off because they are
but
just going to.
Again, The Flash is still coming out and they're like redoing Batman with like
Yeah, Batfleck, and all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing, DC? God damn it. Sorry.
I don't even blame DC anymore. It's the Discovery, that parent company that bought them.
Yep.
Well, they are the ones that want, they are the ones that actually want to retcon everything. True.
Yeah. It's whatever.
I did remember reading that it was Discovery.
Yeah.
Know. Yeah. Besides that, like I'm looking at his most recent stuff, and yeah, Doom Patrol for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely worth a watch. None of this other stuff, like Titans, but that's, I mean, that's from Doom Patrol. That's just
it's connected, right?
Yeah, that's the crossover.
Trust, I think I vaguely remembered hearing something about that series. Mm-hmm. But besides that, yeah, there's not a whole lot that looks really, until the Nut Job, where
that was a cartoon. Yeah.
But yeah, besides that, yeah, the
I saw the Nut Job.
Live action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One that's next up is Furry Vengeance from 2010.
I can't even think of what that is.
Furry Vengeance, if I remember correctly, he's like a real estate developer that's trying to cut down a forest, so all the animals team up with like the forest rangers to like take him down.
Live action?
Live action and animated, I think, mixed together, if I remember correctly.
See, as soon as we decided that this episode was happening, it was definitely like, oh, go back through. And I know that's what I'm going to be doing the next few days.
Yeah,
catching all those nuggets of just like, oh, shit, why haven't I seen this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw that, School Ties is on HBO Max, so I meant to watch that before we started, but I ran into doing other stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's a great film. Soul crushing. It's a rough movie.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
That's really good.
Oh, so
it's a dude in like a private school that like has to hide his Jewishness to not be called out in like 1950s America.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. So. And it gets
rough.
Well, let me say, out of so many movies though, of like where it becomes the one man against the majority, that is one of the best call out scenes ever. Where he's standing out in the rain and he's yelling at the dorm for all, because once it's known that he's Jewish and he's calling for all of them to be like, you know who I am, come out here and fight me if you have a problem. And it's just him standing by himself in the middle of like this thunderstorm.
Yep. Great scene.
That was an early one.
School Ties.
Yeah. Too, like yeah. Matt, it was early Matt Damon and a few other actors like that as well in it with him.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's check that out. Is it streaming somewhere?
That's on HBO Max.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
All right, cool.
I was about to say, unless like some of these are like truly like indie to some degree, and most of them should be pretty easy to find.
For the most part,
you'd think so.
Movies with Pauly Shore. And of course, he was in Encino Man. That's where he got his break.
Son-in-Law.
Yeah.
But then you look at Son-in-Law and In the Army Now, and his character is Link. In those movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the same. Yeah.
It's a cameo bit.
Yeah.
I don't remember them from now. Granted, it's been a while since I've seen The Son-in-Law or In the Army Now. In the Army Now basically being a really bad knockoff of Stripes.
Well, and it has.
Oh, it was a horrible.
And it has Andy Dick in it.
Yeah. That's right.
Fuck Andy Dick. Right. God, I hope he's dead.
True.
Fuck Andy Dick.
But yeah, he was in Glory Days, which was a lesser known, I think that was a Lampoon property, but that had Ben Affleck in it.
Yep.
And what's her face? Apparently, yeah, he was in the Kids in the Hall Brain Candy movie.
Holy shit.
Just made a fucking face. I'm so sorry.
But yeah, we're not going to just list his movies. But yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff.
I really would love us to go back and talk about like how wonderful Bedazzled was. Because like, it's not a masterpiece of cinema. And yeah, it's a fucking hit.
He does wear brown face in that movie.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not saying redo that.
A brown face as a drug lord in South America.
I'm not saying that everything in the movie aged well. I'm just saying that Elizabeth Hurley is fucking hot and he was ridiculous.
With the brown face? Is that what you're...
Yeah, with the... So,
I mean, it is utterly ridiculous to think about somebody wearing brown face and thinking that it's a good idea. Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
But, in the 90s, was it though?
Yeah, it's still fucking ridiculous.
I mean, it was still bad, but like... They still did it in the
90s. Exactly. Yeah. Still bad, like,
I think when you look at it for Brendan Fraser, though, yes, that faux pas in Bedazzled, but when it, like what we've already talked about with him is, I mean, he's one of two, that's part of what makes, in my mind, he's one of the greats. Can you really think of doing... No! I said besides doing that.
I'm sorry.
Jesus!
I was so
It's really, yeah, like Airhead's great, but there's not enough brown face in it.
Not enough brown hair. Not enough brown
they surely, totally should have done brown face. I said besides that.
Oh my God, can you please put that as your review on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yes.
Airhead.
Not enough brown face.
Scotty.
Lemmy was great. Not enough brown face.
Scotty, no. There's only one line from that section of that particular film that, like, I do love, is where he discovers he can speak Spanish and he's like, oh, if my Spanish teacher could see me now, she would be so proud of me. And the person he's talking to is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. That was a great little nuances he could always pull in a character, though.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's always had it. He's always had the chops for it. It's just some of the shit that happened outside and Hollywood doing the typical brush it under the rug type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking...
It's what they do.
Fortunately, it was only temporary, but, I mean, it ruined the man. So many people don't make a comeback like he has.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't make a comeback. And nowadays, a lot of people aren't given the chance to do a comeback.
Very true. Comeback
stories aren't welcomed.
Yeah. Well, and that's what even brings up one of the most recent things with his new movie, The Whale, that's coming out. The whole fact that man has done what he's done and got a 6-minute standing ovation.
Yes, he did. And Aronofsky actually was quoted as saying.
It's an Aronofsky movie?
Yeah.
It's Aronofsky's next film.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
And apparently he searched for the right actor for like 10 years to play the part.
Yeah. Because you know he doesn't do shit quick, Aronofsky.
No,
he doesn't. Also, he doesn't do things nice.
No,
everything's tragic and awful.
Right, exactly. Everything's very, very bad at the end.
We are on the final little bit of Geeks Under the Influence, where we decide to take something that's beautiful or weird or funny and make it way worse by doing our versions of it. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
Wow, that was everybody on fucking point with the All right, yeah. But so I'm happy to do whatever. We've got two roles for Blast from the Past, the Oscar-nominated, the 90s rom-com Blast from the Past, and then
I'll take Adam from the Blast from the... Okay. Whatever the fuck is supposed to be, fool.
So we've got Eve from Blast from the Past, or, Murphy's playing one of the two roles.
Can I be Rick?
You can be Rick. That's fine.
I mean, I guess I can be Eve for the Blast from the Past.
Okay, and I'll be Evelyn for the Mummy.
Yeah. Yay.
Okay, that's cool. Fine.
So here we go. So from Blast from the Past, starting with Eve, whenever you're ready.
What kind of wife are you looking for?
Well, one who's like not a mutant.
No dogs, huh? Okay, cool.
And if it's possible, I'd like to marry someone from Pasadena.
When do you need her by?
Like 2 weeks.
Well, I could probably get you laid in 2 weeks, but to locate a non-mutant wife from Pasadena takes some time.
Oh, Pasadena punch. Yeah.
That's like what I was afraid of.
That was like everyone in Pasadena is ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, because you never seen it too. The Eve in this is Alicia Silverstone as well.
Yeah.
So if that gives you any indication on, I was channeling my Clueless.
All right. Next one that we're doing, I like one of you put like the sad face. Oh, Scotty put the sad face.
I did that by accident. Okay. That was
like, where are we sad?
All right.
I mean, I'm sad for my performance, but you know.
The sad face reaction to the group chat here. So we've got the Mummy with a conversation between Rick and Evelyn. So Murphy will be playing Rick. I'm Evelyn. Whenever you're ready, Murphy.
Trying to pack Evelyn's suitcase. Things into a suitcase, but as he's packing, she's taking her things back out again.
I thought you said you didn't believe in all these fairy tales and hokum stuff.
Well, having an encounter with the 3,000-year-old walking, talking corpse does tend to convert one.
Forget it. We're out down the door. We're down the hall. And we're gone.
Oh, no. We are not.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no. We are not. We woke him, and we will be going to stop him.
We? What we? We didn't read that book. I told you not to play around with that thing. Didn't I tell you not to play around with that thing?
Yes, that's right. Me. I woke up, woke him up, and intend to stop him.
Oh, yeah? How? You heard the man. No mortal weapons can kill this guy.
Well, then we're just going to have to find some immortal ones.
There goes that we again. You know, I wonder if... Evelyn slams the suitcase shut on Rick's fingers. Ah!
Listen, we've got to do something. Once the creature's been reborn, his curse is going to spread into the world of the whole of this earth is destroyed.
And is that my problem?
Well, it's everybody's problem.
Evelyn, I appreciate you saving my life and all, but when I signed on, I agreed to take you out there and bring you back. End of job, end of story, contract terminated.
Ew. That's all I am to you, a contract.
Okay, look, you can either tag along with me or stay here and try to save the world. What's it gonna be?
I'm staying.
Fine.
Leaves and slams the door.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
That was a feat. Your narration part reminded me, I think, of what am I thinking of? Sweet Tooth? Wasn't there that kind of narration?
Oh, yeah,
Sweet Tooth?
For
Great
similar.
British Baking Show.
Nice.
Narration. Oh,
nice.
No, okay. Yeah. That as well, but like I'm thinking of like in fantasy world like
this. Oh, yeah,
I thought the narration was British and Sweet Tooth. I could be wrong.
Nice.
Yeah, I see what you're getting at. I got you.
It was just very, but no, Great British Baking Show, yes, obviously. Which, by the way, I hate that they don't really ever eat all that amazing food.
Oh, they do. That's they're just really... not on camera.
Oh.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no, okay. Afterwards, they all definitely like sit around and
pig
eat
out.
Stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
All looks fucking glorious.
No, they definitely sit around and eat stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why like the last episode is like a big picnic. That Brendan Fraser could be in.
That Brendan Fraser could be in.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to think.
Sorry.
Thank anyway. You so much for sticking around for this episode on Brendan Fraser and the Renaissance on Geeks Under the Influence.
Yes.
Definitely make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all those things you do for podcasts at GUIpodcast.com. Go to Apple, Spotify, all those things. Review us. Let us know what you think about the episodes. I'm going to find you next time. Thanks to the Creepazoids for the intro, Dead by Dawn, and outro as well. And I'll find you next time. I'm Mike the Hobbit.
Lowdown.
Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
GUIpodcast.com.